Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Rewind, the podcast that rewatches, reviews, and responds to every movie, show, and one-shot in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'm Tony Camarena.
I'm Alicia Thayer.
And I'm Al Rodriguez, and today we are talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2, Episode 4, Face My Enemy, which originally premiered October 14th of 2014.
And as always, here's our Wikipedia summary to follow. Coulson and May go undercover to a charity function to get a painting that is carved with alien symbols and encounter Talbot, who has already claimed it, and asks to meet with Coulson in private. Coulson sends May to scout ahead, and she discovers that the brainwashed S.H.I.E.L.D. agent 33 in Talbot's hotel room. Realizing that Talbot at the party was actually Bakshi in disguise, Bakshi tortures May while Agent 33 disguises herself as May to pick up Coulson and sabotage the bus. Coulson realizes that May is a fake because of inconsistencies in her behavior. He rescues the real May, who defeats Agent 33, while Fitz and Hunter work together to save the bus from Hydra's computer virus, allowing Fitz to start reintegrating into the team, following previous life-changing injuries. Though Bakshi escapes, S.H.I.E.L.D. claims the painting, hiding its survival from the real Talbot. Raina is later confronted by Whitehall, who orders her to deliver the obelisk to Hydra or face death. Bum, dun, bum, dun, bum. Dun.
All right. So you guys want to just jump into it?
Jump.
Jump
around.
Yeah. No, that will mess up a recording. This is a terrible idea. All right. So, we start off in a church that was on fire in Florida. There's a painting that somehow the writing's there with that's fireproof. Go ahead.
Do we know that the writings are fireproof, or is it just the one thing that didn't get touched?
That was my question. Is that part of the, does the writing have special fireproofing powers? Oh. Or is this just a strange plot contrived coincidence?
Good question. You know what it reminds me of?
Hmm.
The actual sort of painting thing, curse-ish thing that might actually exist for the Crying Boy paintings?
I do not know of this.
Okay, so there's a painting that's been replicated many times, but it doesn't seem to matter if the painting's replicated or the original one. But there's been evidence of quite a few house fires that the people who own this Crying Boy painting, their house burns, but the painting is the only thing untouched.
That is strange.
Yeah.
First of all, because that happens. Second of all, why do people keep buying these paintings if this is a thing that happens?
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't happen with everybody's painting, but I know it's happened when more than one location. So it's not there's one instance. No, there's multiple instances of this.
Oh. If I don't like somebody, I know what kind of painting to get them for a housewarming gift.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, that's weird. And so are these symbols.
Right?
Yeah, so it didn't hit me at all until right now that you asked if that was just coincidence or not. But yeah, it probably was just the writing. The writers saying, yeah, this should probably be fine.
Mm-mm-mm.
Oh, yeah, it makes it a little more mysterious, but yeah. Now I'm not sure if that, the writing, well, we know the writing's supernatural, but I think the survival isn't part of that power.
Fair.
And yeah, and then we get a switch to Hunter in Miami, or I'm not sure it's in Miami, but somewhere in Florida.
It was near Miami. It's right next to it.
Okay. A Miami suburb. And he's kissing a woman to pickpocket her to steal a ticket for a gala.
I didn't think they stole the ticket. I thought what they did was stole the way to access the guest list in order to get in.
Okay.
In order to put their names on said list.
I think they took the ticket.
Which, by the way, if they did that... No, because Sky had to hack into something to do it. But if they did that, wouldn't they have seen Talbot's name on the guest list? Can I just say?
Well, that's if they were searching.
If,
true.
Yeah, if they were looking who was there, which they probably should have.
Right.
Also, if Talbot was even on the guest list, because spoiler alert for the end of this episode that we already spoiled on the wiki. It's Bakshi. It's not Talbot. So Bakshi could have been invited and put his face on when he's there.
Yeah, but it would be a little strange for him to be wearing military uniform, because I'm pretty sure that doesn't get covered by the face.
No, but I mean, he could probably take a suitcase in or something. Or, yeah, maybe he did just go in a military uniform and that's it. Like why not?
Mm-hmm.
If no one there really knows him, knows who he is, then, yeah, I don't see a reason why he wouldn't or couldn't just go in with that.
Yeah.
Questions.
So we get them sneaking into their high-end affair, but during that time, Hunter is just bitching. Like, he tends to always do.
Well, this is exactly...
I was like, that's normal for him.
Yeah, I mean, this is exactly why May was so happy to shoot him in the last episode.
Which was
also
great.
He shot him, too. Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah, I mean, his wife sounds like a terrible person. Although, right? You think about what kind of person Hunter is. So she might just be a sweetheart, and he could just be... a terrible person.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's face it. I don't know how many guys, like, I don't know how many guys you guys have experienced after breakups when it's not the guy doing the breaking up. But Hunter is one of those guys that gets scorned and wasn't ready for the breakup and will talk hella shit just to make himself feel better about it.
Yeah, that's true. But you just like, I don't know. How long do you think they've been broken up for? He and his ex-wife.
At least a while.
I don't know if they actually even say it in the show even later on when we get some more information, but it's got to be at least a few years.
Right?
Yeah. He is so hung up on this woman. It's not even funny. I mean, it's kind of funny because we're laughing about it.
That's legit how it goes. No joke.
I mean, it's like foreshadowing or something, right? It's, ugh.
Oh, right.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everything he says about her sounds horrible, but at least he didn't have to like quinoa.
Yeah.
Which I guess was the next scene, right, where Max said he had to pretend to like quinoa.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what that is.
I forgot about that.
You're good. You don't need to.
It's a rice kind of thing.
Oh, like a rice cake, I'm going to assume.
No.
Fried rice?
No.
Sushi? I'm just naming rice things.
Have you ever had couscous?
No.
Okay. It's like a little, like, it's like, think rice, helping. But think, like, very, very minuscule and, like
oh,
brown.
So it's sand.
Yeah,
it's sand.
It's a little bigger than that. Think, like, fish eggs size.
Yum. Okay. I should just seek it out. Oh, it's good for me. Never mind. I'm not gonna have that. Forget I asked. Jeez. All right. So, Coulson and May are going to this gala, and Mac is the driver who still is not allowed to work on Lola, who for a mechanic that's probably very depressing.
Right. Bring back Lola. Bring her back. I want to see her again.
Yeah. Well, we know she's there because Mac knows who she is, and he's never met them in season one. So right. We know Lola's somewhere on base, so thank goodness for that.
Right? Thank goodness.
Yeah, they didn't just leave it at the...
We get to go to the gala.
Where was it in the last season? It was when they fell out of the plane.
Parked on the side.
They didn't just leave it parked over there.
Yeah.
They parked it in a valet, basically somewhere for the valet to take it, but yeah, that thing's not driving.
If I remember correctly, I think it was like the Disney Symphony Hall or Orchestra Hall that they have over there. That's what it looked like to me.
Down in LA.
Yeah. But yeah, Coulson is down for this. He's like, this is fun. Look, cufflinks. And May is like, I would pay $500 right now for a pair of flats.
Right.
May, I love May, but she's kind of predictable. You knew that she would not be down for this.
Oh no, she's like me. She's like, why are you making me dress up? Why do you have me in high heels? This is not conducive to fighting. I don't want to be in this. And like,
yeah.
I'm tall for the average woman. Mm-hmm. I hate wearing heels. A, because no one ever taught me how to walk in them, because it was not something my mother did, and I didn't have any like female role models that walked around in heels. So walking in heels is a problem for me. I will literally almost break my neck.
Have you ever watched The New Girl? I know I'm going on a tangent, but have you watched The New Girl?
No.
There's this one episode my wife was watching where the main character's best friend is a model, but the model's too sick to model. So the main character, Jess, who's like she's a elementary school teacher, never dresses up. She dresses up as a model to do this thing for like a car show. Mm-hmm. And she has to walk heels for the first time, climb the stairs onto the a rotating platform, and it's just her almost dying like 47 times.
Yeah.
And it's the most hilarious thing.
So I wore heels for my senior prom, and we did the boat. So we had to go out to the pier and everything and walk down the stairs. I broke my heels before I got to the boat.
Because I thought you were going to say you broke your ankles.
Yeah, I almost did. I broke them trying to get down the stairs because I almost fell because I couldn't walk in them. So I broke them. So they came off pretty early.
So you're on May's team. Team no heels.
No heels.
Although, what do you think about...
Who wants to stand on a tiny little point?
Not I, said the Tony.
Yeah.
Same here. I'd avoid it if possible.
Yep.
There you go.
Although, it's not always possible, Al. Just be careful out there.
That's true. You just start walking around and you just end up on a point. Like, that's not that fun.
Or you're going for your daily, you've got daily errands to run on the weekend, and suddenly you're wearing heels. And what's a guy to do? It's terrible.
Happens at least once a month. Yep.
I know. Especially if you're like running from dinosaurs or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Right. So is there like a TV show we should be talking about? I think I'm confused.
Yeah. Well, right. Let's go back to the gala because that's where we start with.
Oh, yes, the gala. Everyone the get gala. Their heels on and their fancy cufflinks.
Right.
And their fancy cufflinks. Listen to May's laugh. Terrifying laughter.
I was like, wait, no. I was like, because I was a Sky when I heard that. She was like, is that May laughing? Like, legit? Like, I'm a little frightened right now.
I was like, oh my god, May's under attack. What the hell is that?
Right. Like, that was like, okay, even I didn't expect that.
So we know that May used to be like, you know, happy go lucky, really fun type of person, always playing practical jokes on people.
We don't know that. Yeah. Oh yeah, she did play.
So I'm assuming the rest, okay. But at least the practical jokes, right? She was a joking kind of person.
Until something happened to her.
Could this have been her normal laugh, or is this her like not remembering what laughter is? And trying to make a sound.
I think she doesn't remember what laughter is.
I'm gonna go if she doesn't remember what laughter is. Because that laugh was slightly terrifying.
It's more than slightly terrifying. That will haunt my nightmares for the rest of my life. No. Not really. And I'm also trying to think specifically to the movie Mulan. Have I ever heard Ming-Na Wen laugh?
Who'd she play in Mulan? I haven't...
She played Mulan.
Oh, shit.
She's the voice of Mulan.
Did Mulan laugh in that? Oh, yes, she did, but it was totally the, like, guy laugh.
Okay, like, real legitimate laugh.
No.
I remember how she's, like, she's laughing as a guy. Like, ha, 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 ha. but yeah. Not a real laugh.
Yeah, no, I don't think she did ever the real laugh.
No, okay, running theory. I don't think Minong Wen knows how to laugh.
Ooh.
Well,
she's welcome to disprove us.
Yep. Please come on the show and laugh for us, at us, whichever.
We'll take it. But anyway, so, like, the reaction to everybody for that was kind of what we did. We're like,
Yeah, and then we get, this is a pretty traditional spy episode. We got these two spies who dance to Case the Joint, right? Where I have the note dancing as an elective. Who was it, May or Coulson who danced as an elective? Or did they do it together?
Coulson. May had to be taught.
Ah. Yeah. I mean, I think dancing, if you're going to be a spy, dancing is something you should know. Because it's a very social thing. If you're a spy, you want to get people comfortable.
True.
Yeah.
And it creates a point of intimacy, which causes people to trust you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you would think she would have learned it, but...
Meh. Yeah, I mean, she's not really that kind of spy, right? I mean, she's not the get-trusted kind of character. Or at least I never thought she was. I thought she was more combat-oriented.
You think,
I mean, I guess we don't know too much.
I mean, yeah, we don't know much about what she did before. Well, yeah, before she was at the desk job.
Yeah, it's a little hard without her, like, full-on backstory to say, be like, oh, yeah, she does this and this, but she doesn't do this. Like, we're sitting here being like, we think she did that by parsing out what little we know of her, but honestly we don't know what sort of spy stuff she did in the past.
Yeah, it's true. They also use this time for Coulson to kind of disconnect from everyone else and talk to May about the possibility of him going rogue Garrett style now that he's been doing sketches.
No.
Yeah, and May is not wanting to listen at all to
him. She is not having that conversation.
No. Yeah. She's, as we know, she's intensely loyal to Coulson, so I don't think she... I think, yeah, she wouldn't be willing to kill him. She's definitely capable of it, but I don't think she's willing to sacrifice Coulson for any reason, which is actually a huge weakness. But this conversation kind of gets cut off short a little bit because they find that Talbot's there,
or fake Talbot,
or quote unquote Talbot's there.
Complete surprise. I don't remember us talking about this. Did not see that coming. No. Yeah.
No. No idea.
Nope.
And then it's been a while since I've seen this episode, and I remember as soon as I saw May in that dress, I knew this was the episode where she fights herself, but I forgot that Talbot was also a masky person, but you could tell, look, like, when he talks, he's like, it's obviously not Talbot. The way he's talking, he doesn't even recognize Coulson, because I think he probably would have tried to arrest Coulson on sight at this time. Yeah.
Which makes me wonder, is like, why didn't you realize? And that's totally what Talbot says at the end, too. He's like, dude, you didn't, what? You're an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give it to Coulson, because, I mean, so far, like, there wasn't much that he's had to do very differently, right? Because, I mean, in this scenario, you know, from what we know, Talbot doesn't have anyone really there as backup. Maybe there is, you know, someone somewhere. Like, assuming this was Talbot, right? But the last time I can think of where they were face-to-face, was that when Coulson was dropping off Crusher Creel? And at the time... Yeah, and at the time, you know, Talbot was... Well, it was him and, like, two cars full of soldiers. And he just saw Coulson standing there by himself. So... It kind of seems like they like this banter, at least. And, you know, even then, with just a bunch of people, I don't know. He was obviously very different, but I'd kind of give it to Coulson for not knowing, because he really just kind of led the conversation.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, He's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. He should know that not everything is always as it seems. He shouldn't just give that information, lead the conversation that way, even if you know the guy. Because there's a good chance, you know, he's a shapeshifter, or he's got a masky thing. I don't even know what those are called. But yeah,
I believe the technical term is masky thing. I think you got that right.
That's what I'm going to call it from now until forever. So, yeah. So, we don't know what... Or, he shouldn't have just assumed that it was Talbot without Talbot, you know, giving away some tells of who he is. Like, you know, being very angry and possibly using a super patriotic phrase.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't really remember what the conversation is, but the little I remember, I think is mainly from what you're just saying right now. So it's basically, he kept basically telling Talbot what to agree with, right? Telling the other person, you know, these are those things. And Bakshi was just like, yeah, that, uh-huh. Kind of like a fortune teller.
He basically led the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Well, in that case, I retract my statements.
So, stricken from the record. Okay. We get a little, right after that, is we get a little bit of May, flirting. And May flirting makes me feel really uncomfortable.
I thought it was cute.
Yeah. But she flirts so she can get a picture with, the guy whose name I am not looking up right now, Gabriel Soto. He was flirting with Gabriel Soto so she can, like, retina scan him with a camera.
Yep.
So they can get into the thing. Which is, you know, a much better way to retina scan somebody than the way Loki did it in The Avengers. I've just got to say.
Yeah, but it's less of a cool entrance.
Right? And to be fair, I don't know that Loki had that tech.
No, but Clint Barton might have had that tech. He was S.H.I.E.L.D.
True. But he would have had to go into a S.H.I.E.L.D. facility to get it.
Yeah. Also, Loki's a diva.
He is such a diva.
So he wanted everyone to know.
No argument. He's a diva.
So they use that scan to go in and they get laser grids. And, you know, they're going to do that cool, you know, super backflip thing, right?
Hey. Nope.
No.
They just walks right through it. They already know we're here.
It's fair.
Why didn't she just wait for Coulson to mess up and then just start walking? Like right? I thought that would have been
just
great.
Just give
to
him
see.
The sense of things.
Not even that. Just like, give him 10 seconds. Let him go. And then just, like, even if he hasn't messed up, just start walking at that point. I mean... You don't want to waste time, but, you know, give him something. He's the director of S.H.I.E.L.D., for Christ's sake.
And he hasn't been in the field in a while.
Yeah, he's also going crazy a little bit. Or possibly going crazy. It's true.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that worked out for them. They
they didn't get the painting.
Yeah, they go in, they find out the painting's missing, and he invites them to the hotel room where May goes and Coulson heads back to the bus, right?
Yes.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, does she just goes and meets them at the hotel, right? Like, just on her own. She wasn't like following anything, right? Because that's right, Talbot Bakshi told him where he was staying. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she walks in and she runs into Agent 33 and not Talbot, as we find out it is.
Right.
Yeah. Or this is actually, we get the reveal that Bakshi's wearing the masky mask.
Yeah, because she kicks him in the face and something goes wrong with it.
Yeah, I think this is the first time we've seen the mask since Winter Soldier, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And wasn't Winter Soldier? So was Civil War, I thought.
No, Winter Soldier at the end, before the helicarriers come. We haven't covered Civil War yet.
Oh, Winter, yeah, you're right. You're right. Natasha uses it. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, unfortunately, May gets... Well, she gets knocked out by a pipe, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. It's whacked in the back of the head.
People have lying around their hotel rooms. Yeah. I know I do. Just in case things like this happen. Right.
Weird.
And then...
Yeah, I'm in a hotel room right now, and I see like, at least three of them.
Well, yeah, you gotta be careful.
Yeah,
I know. I think I told Al. People may have seen on Twitter that I watched John Wick recently.
Which one?
And now I'm just have the first one. I have yet to watch the second one.
Second
I bought
good.
Both of them a while ago. Yeah, but I need more weapons in my house in case I get in John Wick's way. Right. It's terrifying.
They're I think making a.
I'll try not to. They are. They just announced them, and then actually there's a character. Who I want to say an actor who shows up in this season who just got cast in it.
Oh.
But we're not there yet.
Okay.
I think it's this season. Might be next season. But a character from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is in the going to be in John Wick 3. And actually, John Wick 1, watching it, talk about this later. Never mind.
Okay.
Not this episode.
Yep.
Yeah, so Agent 33 takes May's face.
Right.
Which
was strange. By the way, it only changes the face. What about the body type and height? Like, was she just, like, happened to be the perfect height and body type for May? Or was somebody really freaking unobservant?
I don't know. Because I thought, like, with Bakshin and Talbot, I thought Talbot, or just assumed Talbot's taller than Bakshin.
Right?
Maybe that's just the way he carries himself. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I mean... For all we know, in this at least, they probably cast the actress who plays Agent 33
mm-hmm.
to be the same type of person as May, so they could do this awesome fight.
Maybe.
Yeah, because I mean, if I threw on a Chris Evans mask, my body type is definitely not going to match. I think people will know.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god, what happened to Chris Evans? He's shorter and fatter. Like, we've seen him shorter, but...
How tall is he?
I'm assuming he's taller than I am.
Chris Evans?
I imagine Chris Evans as being at least 7.5 feet tall.
Hang on, I'll look. He is...
You can never tell in, like,
feet.
Movies or anything, right? Because...
Yeah, he's six feet.
Oh, okay.
Almost 3 inches taller than me.
So, okay. Yeah. You can never really tell because, like, so many characters or, like, actors, actresses, they want to be, like, the highest or the tallest person in a movie. Like, every movie... oh, great. Now I'm blanking on the guy's name.
Tom Cruise.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
Every
I knew
movie
who
Tom Cruise
about.
Is, because he's like, what, 5'2"
yeah,
or something?
Short.
But he's always the tallest
right?
guy.
Yeah. Yeah, there was this one time I was in New York City when I was about 14, uh-huh. Family vacation, and we went in front of the Today Show because my mom really wanted to do that. She'd always wanted to do that.
Oh,
so,
that's on my list too.
Yeah, she was, and as a guest was some WNBA player, I don't know, and Tom Cruise. And Tom Cruise was 3.5 feet tall because the WNBA player was like probably close to 7 feet. I was like, oh, that's just mean.
Right.
He's already a short man. But yeah, but to connect to this, Robert Downey Jr. is also very short.
He is.
That's why.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, he's not super short. He's short in comparison to everybody else on the cast list.
Yeah, that's true. He's even short compared to.
Because he's
5'9". Yeah, Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah, that's not very short. But it's not superhero
size.
No,
no, God, no. But he is short comparatively to everybody else.
Yeah, it's like when you see Gwyneth Paltrow doesn't wear shoes when he's with her in Avengers, it's because he doesn't want her to be taller than him.
All right.
Yeah. Because, shocking, Robert Downey Jr. is a vain, unlike Tony Stark. Wait.
She is also 5'9", so they're actually the same height.
Okay, so he wanted to be taller than because he's wearing shoes in that. Because he just came out of suit. Anyway. I want to go back to the Avengers, but we're not. We will when we do part two of Avengers 98.
Oh, God.
So, Not May goes to the bus and plants a virus in the system. Yeah, and asks, and just goes up to Coulson's like, no, you know what, Talbot's fine. He's not trying to trick us. Everything's good. Don't worry about it, Coulson. He seems to be on the straight and narrow.
Which should have been a giveaway. Yeah. I just have to say, that was like, straight and narrow? No.
Talbot? No. I'm not sure.
Are you talking about who I think you're talking about?
She also does have some gifts, right? She's,
Well, she talks about the plan without knowing about it, which, knowing what we knew from the beginning of it, she would have been vehemently against it. So mm-hmm. I think that was step one. And then she grabbed his hand.
Yeah, it touched him. You know how affectionate May is.
And I was like, oh, you fucked up.
But the last thing is Coulson asks May to go out with him for some coffee later.
She hates coffee, apparently.
May hates coffee.
I swear to God, I have more in common with the Agent May than I ever thought.
Yeah.
I do not like coffee.
Now, I have to agree with Coulson. Now, I, too, don't like coffee. But I have to agree with Coulson. Punching someone in the face not liking coffee is a punch-in-the-faceable offense. Great, I wrote down my joke just for that, and I messed up reading it. Great. Keeping in line with the whole history of the three of us for this entire podcast.
How did May escape from her thing? Is this one of the things where she popped her thumb out of socket? Because I've seen that a lot lately, not just in S.H.I.E.L.D. But
she managed to get a hand free and then got out of the leg restraints in order to pop the chair off the rest of her. She tried to get it off easier, but then she was like, I'm going to break it against shit.
Yeah. Because, Agent 33 sabotages the bus into self-destruct mode, which, you know, you need that on every type of
virus
thing people live in.
Oh, yep. Yeah. I mean, the next time I buy a car, I'm making sure it has a self-destruct mode.
Yeah. And Agent 33 kind of escapes and goes back to the hotel room, where we get probably the most awesome fight, which is May versus not May. Right. Battle Royale.
I'm so glad that this is one of those situations where we're able to tell which one is which because they are dressed differently.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was a little worried for a second. It was going to be one of those times where like, no, we don't know which one needs to be killed. But no, thankfully we do know. So that's good.
Yep. Yeah, I like Coulson's reaction. I can't believe I'm the only one seeing this right now. I'm
like, dude, we should have recorded. This is great.
Yep. And I like how Coulson chases after Bakshi and just ices him. So he can, you know, he just wants to go back to watch the May versus May fight. He's not even going to help May.
He doesn't need to. She's good. She's got herself.
Yeah. So I'm trying to remember the exact timing of this, but basically the May v. May super fight starts in like the middle of the hallway. And then at some point, like, you know, the camera leaves and then they go back and now they're fighting in the hotel room. Like, I'm trying to imagine, like, maybe they did fight in that direction. But I like to think that a someone who was staying in the hotel came out and said, hey, quiet down. And they said, oh, OK, yes. I guess we'll do that. And then they called time out and they walked the 30 feet into the room and they closed the door and then they, you know, counted down 3, 2, 1, fight. And then they got back.
That would be hilarious.
I'm assuming that's exactly what happened.
That sounds accurate. Actually the only thing I remember from this episode before we rewatched it was the head slam into the table. I'm just like,
oh, that was great too.
Freaking brutal. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't remember that was this episode. For some reason, I kept thinking that was in the first season with, I forget the agent's name, but the one that had the eye, the first one that had the Hydra person with the exploding eye bomb. Yeah, exactly. For some reason, I thought that was
exploding
there.
Eye bomb.
But, after not seeing it, I thought, all right, well, I guess it'll show up at some point.
Cool. No, I remember Mace in the sparkly dress. That's how I remembered it. Like, sparkly dress. All right, we're going to get a head smashed into the table.
Yeah, those two things.
Yeah, so she smashes them. What was that?
I said, yeah, those two things fit together. They're logical progressions.
Obviously, mm-hmm. Obviously. Yeah, well, she smashes them to the table. Then Yay! They win. Yay! We completely forgot about the rest of the crew in this. So maybe we should rewind a little bit. We get just little parts with the rest of the crew, a little bit with Fitz and Amanda Simmons. Where Fitz is, you know, not feeling useful, missing his own lab, and missing right. connection to other people because he's been in his head for so long.
Poor Fitz.
Yeah. We get a little bit of the guys talking about their exes. Mostly Hunter talking about his ex.
That man. It seems like everybody has listened to him talk about her before, by the way. Everybody's like, please no, except for Sky. She's like, yeah, go for it. Like, I know that she's heard him talk about it before, but she's like, okay, go, whatever. So.
Yeah.
Well, she's still practicing that whole keep your heartbeat down, right? So when someone is doing something really annoying, she needs to keep that True. Practice. So at one point, like, during this, was it Hunter complaining about his ex-wife? He, like, walks into the room and you know, now it's, like, guy time, I guess, and they're all drinking beer. And he says, hey, put everything down, or put that down.
No, he's drop right, everything.
Drop everything. So and then Fitz responds, because he's holding, you know, some ooze thing in right. there. Like, I'm not going to drop this. It's expensive. Right? Now, I mean, I don't know what that is, but I think that is some ooze that they got from TGRI. So I think if he dropped that, he could have made the Ninja Turtles.
Ooh.
Were there any turtles
I don't
nearby?
Know.
That's the problem. He's saving it for when there are turtles. That's why he would just Fair want enough. To drop it.
So, you know, just saying, if the Ninja Turtles ever turn up, I'm going to say that I called it.
All right.
So let's see what happens in okay. season 3.
You can definitely say that. You can definitely say that. You know, I just had a thought while talking about turtles and possibly other animals. When Fitz is having these, you know, mental problems, brain damage, why the hell did they not give him a helper monkey?
It would be the helper monkey.
Anything could cheer him up. A goddamn helper monkey.
I don't know. Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah. Well, Fitz doesn't need a helper monkey because he's got a helper Hunter. Who actually does help?
Which is adorable
fix,
that they have the
fix the bus.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like, just tell me yeah. what to do. Please don't kill me.
He's the only one who's expendable.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's true. Yeah. And then yeah, we get Fitz making friends. Yay! Coming, talking about Simmons and how he feels like he's abandoned by her. Womp womp. And yeah, and then we get a little bit of Talbot, real Talbot, talking to Coulson. It's like, someone's running around with my face. I spent 5 long months in enemy war camp, Coulson. You make right? me miss those days. I'm just like, things were simpler.
Ah, the good old days.
Yep. And then, yeah, we find out that the carving on the painting isn't 500 years old. Mm-hmm. It's brand new. Or new-ish, at least. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's another carver out there. And then we get May and Coulson talking about her plan for him. Is to get him out to Australia.
Right? In the middle of nowhere.
Why is he going to Australia, Al?
Because he likes kangaroos. Obviously.
Yeah.
Crazy, obviously. Crazy kangaroos. By the way, what... I mean, okay, I guess if May is the one taking Coulson, then this plan would work out. But if they're just going to go to the middle of nowhere in Australia, I mean, that's just not going to work out well. Like, what if a drop bear gets them? That would suck.
This is true.
Yes. I mean, you're just walking also, around and a bear drops from the tree.
Actually, the outback is mostly desert. It's not the rainforest part.
Yeah. Ah, all right. Well, never
mind
then.
No drop bears there. who, if you're confused what a drop bear is a koala.
Well, some of them have parachutes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, never mind. You're screwed.
I mean, it's Australia. Although why not?
I could imagine Coulson being on the Australian desert just carving those symbols out into the whole, you know, desert, which is terrifying. But yeah. But Coulson would rather die than let that happen because he still orders May to kill him. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be sad when May does kill him. Oh, spoilers. Aww. Just kidding.
I was like, don't tell me that.
And then we get our post-credit scene with Whitehall gets to Raina.
Mm-hmm. Creepy, creepy Whitehall.
Ooh. Right?
Yep.
Did any of you think at this scene that he was going to, like, try and eat her or something? Because that's the kind of creepy evil I expect from him.
Right? He's kind of Hannibal Lecter-y. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he said he did make surgery on someone last for a week. Ugh, which is like, which, again, not surprising. Also, I keep forgetting, at least, he's at least 100 years old. So he's been doing this crazy shit forever.
Right.
Because, yeah, 70 years ago was World War II, and he was over 30. So he's at least 100 years old. So, yeah, we're lucky that, you know, other crazy people didn't get this technology or whatever this is that's keeping him alive.
Right.
All right, I feel like we're tapped on this episode. I'm like, it's not my favorite episode except for that awesome fight scene.
Right?
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's pretty much it. Nothing there. We got a little bit of some storyline pushing forward, but not much. But yeah, all right. So all right, everyone, listen to us next week where we'll be talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Episode 5, A Hen in the Wolf House.
Yep. And as always, please remember to follow us on Twitter at @MCU_rewind. And please give us a rating on iTunes or your favorite podcast app, assuming you like this. Otherwise, I don't got one for this. I really don't. Whitehall will find
we'll
you.
We'll take your face.
I was like, that seems very, very terrifying in the grand scheme of things. So, all right. Anyway, this is the Marvel Cinematic Rewind for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2, Episode 4, Face My Enemy, signing off.
Hey, I just got that was a pun. Have a marvelous day. Los días sean de sol. No pido que todos los viernes sean de fiesta.